Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to be interviewing Dr. Michelle Paris, who's a fellow naturopathic doctor. She's also a trailblazer. She's implemented a women's health community initiative into her clinic, and now it's gone virtually and nationally. So I'm excited to talk to Michelle about community health and how connection is so important for health outcomes. And then we're going to talk about this program called the Wild Collective and simple ways to help reclaim your wild, how to get in touch with your body, your rhythms, and with nature. So welcome, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you today.
Me too. So before we get started, I'll just introduce you to our listeners so they understand your background. But Dr. Michelle Paris is a naturopathic doctor, community builder, speaker, women's empowerment advocate, and mother. Michelle is the clinic director of the Poppy Clinic, an integrative medical clinic that grew to 8 practitioners in 1 year. Michelle is also the creator of the wildly popular community health initiative called Wild Collective, originally Rebel Tribe. Michelle maintains a private practice in the city of Oakville while also dedicating her time on cultivating a community health program aimed at health education and women's empowerment. She believes that connection is essential for optimal health and living a vibrant life. She is passionate about helping women of all ages and life stages how to listen to their bodies and tune into the wisdom inside, helping them create a life that feels good to live with energy and passion that had long been forgotten. As a naturopathic doctor, Michelle is immensely passionate about helping women and their families become their own best health advocate and believes that empowered, health-conscious individuals can achieve a superior quality of life. Michelle graduated from both the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine as well as the University of Calgary, where she received a Bachelor of Arts degree in kinesiology with a minor in contemporary dance. As a clinician, Michelle's focus is on women and children, hormone health, and digestion. She is the proud creator of Dr. Mum ND, an online resource for health-conscious mums and their natural babies. When Michelle is not working through her health, when Michelle is not working through health concerns with her patients, you'll find her sipping bulletproof coffee, hanging out with her tribe, which includes her super cool husband, playing with her 2 young kids, or staying up entirely too late with her husband and a few goofy pets. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Were you up late last night?
Yes.
You were. Oh, well, were you doing something fun or were you working?
No, I was prepping. I was actually looking at all of the latest research as it pertains to community health since COVID. So,
amazing.
You know, very relevant for this podcast.
Definitely. So we'll dive into that soon. I want to get listeners to get a sense, though, of what drove you to create a community health initiative. You know, as a naturopath, we typically treat patients one-on-one in a clinic environment. So can you give our listeners a bit of background about what inspired you to create a community health program?
Absolutely. So I started clinical practice 11 years ago, which sounds so crazy to say now, but I worked in a multidisciplinary clinic and I did what most of us do, which is adopt the model that we were taught as a way of delivering healthcare information to our community at large. And, you know, I love my patient practice. I feel like it has been just the most incredible experience to be involved in women's health and their respective families and the evolution of, you know, preconception to supporting women through pregnancy, postpartum, through perimenopause and postmenopause. I absolutely love what we do in terms of providing healthcare. But I really found myself feeling like I was called to do something different. And I discovered that through, you know, being involved in a lot of mommy groups very early on, like whoever would have me speak at an event, I would show up and just share the brilliance of naturopathic medicine. And, you know, I really got, it was just a different energy. And it started to feel like a bit of more symbiotic relationship where I wasn't repeating myself all the time. And it felt like I was impacting more and impacting in a profound way, because not only was the health delivery and information there for the individuals, but they were there collectively sharing in that experience, therefore finding resiliency and support within each other. And that to me, just like little spark inside of, you know, of curiosity of like, how can I take this and do something with it? And so I opened up the Poppy Clinic just over 3 years ago now, and knew that I wanted to incorporate community. I have to be very honest. I thought it was a really lofty goal. I did not think anyone would show up because, you know, it was this audacious dream, which is what I love about it. But we created this Women Health Initiative because of the women in my practice. I could tell, you know, a lot of them were outgrowing the need for one-on-one care, right? We got them to a certain level of health where, you know, that kind of relationship and in healthcare wasn't indicated or necessary, but you could tell they were wanting something more and they wanted to, you know, hang out in that health sphere, but one-on-one didn't necessarily feel aligned anymore. And so we found this beautiful space with, you know, 500 square feet of community space in the back. And we created what was called the Rebel Tribe and is now called the Wild Collective. And it's a 10-month community health initiative where we meet once a month for 2 hours. And it's a closed group intentionally. And I really, at the time of creating it, wanted to do a couple of things. I really wanted to revolutionize healthcare. I really wanted to make it accessible for a larger population. I wanted it to be I wanted them to have the support that they needed and craved to transform. I wanted them to have access to a healthcare curriculum that I don't think many women have been taught and therefore are disconnected from their body, making health transformation a challenge. And I wanted my job to feel enjoyable and easier. I do actually identify with this rebellious energy. And I had, you know, a desire to do this differently and to find a way to make healthcare really fun and exciting for myself. And also sustainable. I think you probably know this, but we get to a certain part in our career where there's only so many people you can see in a day. And because, you know, everybody has a different awareness of health, often what we're saying, we're repeating over and over again. And it felt like there has to be a more efficient way to provide care.
Definitely.
And that was really the motivation and inspiration for taking this into a community space. And on my first launch, it was this, audacious dream of fusing together a women's health curriculum with, you know, attaching that to the divine feminine or intuition. And at the time I had no idea what I was talking about, but just a huge desire to learn. And I, you know, I invited women who were part of my, you know, one-on-one practice, and some of them brought friends and told their community at large about what we were doing. And it really, I mean, that first time we did sell out, but it was a lot of work because no one really knew what this was. And I feel like asking people to commit to something for 10 months is a huge ask. But through that experience, I learned the value of that. And I think the reason we've had the success that we have is because of our audacious dreaming and because the fact that as a company, as a brand, as what we do as a form of medicine, our foundation is connection and community. And so for us to truly help women lean on the collective and gather the wisdom from that and start to trust the support of that, they need the time to, you know, repattern old narratives that are no longer serving them, establish trust within their new sisterhood and understand what it is that we're trying to do. And, you know, at the beginning, it was like, I just hope people know how to advocate for themselves in a healthcare space. And I hope they care about organic foods and drinking green juice. And they did, but they also started to really lean in and step into their light and become brave and take bold action in their life. And so we as clinicians, you know, talk about these obstacles secure that can be very difficult for patients to face and own on their own, but we created a space for them to get honest with that. And I just really felt like we started to get rid of those obstacles secure, and we started really seeing women transform not only their health, but their life, and find mission, purpose, joy, inspiration, which is, I think, why we want people to be healthy, is so that they live this mission-driven life so that they can go out and change the world. And that's really, I mean, the beautiful thing we've seen it unfold.
It's such an amazing program, and I'm so excited to be a facilitator. I'll be being a facilitator for the first time starting this fall, and I love everything that the Wild Collective stands for. I love the tagline of, you know, connecting with yourself and connecting with others. Especially now, we need connection more than ever, and empowering women with the knowledge that they need to, you know, go into their doctor's office, their naturopathic doctor, practitioner, whoever it may be, and make some informed decisions and share what they think is going on and help guide and direct their care as well. So I'm so excited to be involved in this. And I hear so many great things of awesome transformations that women have gone through. And just as an aside, like, this was created as an in-person experience, and right now it's going to be virtually over Zoom. And you've already had, I think, a session or like a program running as COVID-19 hit, and you had to switch from in-person to virtual. So how has that affected the connection in the community, if it has at all?
Well, that's a great question. As an aside, I have to say, this needed to be in Toronto for so long, and I'm so grateful that you are the doctor bringing it to your community, because it's just going to be so amazing. So I couldn't be more excited that you're involved and going to be, you know, showing up for such a massive community in that way. And we had to make a very fast pivot in COVID. The dream was always to take this community virtually, because, you know, the goal is really to let women, any woman across the globe who craves this kind of connection and curriculum, to have access to it. We just didn't know we'd be doing it so quickly. So, you know, we made a really fast pivot. We were in the middle of onboarding new cohorts in the spring. And of course, then COVID had happened, and we weren't able to meet in the in-person environment. And that was our first love, obviously, an experience with the Wild Collective. But you know, what's amazing with the technology that we have and the way we can continue to connect is that we were able to provide the exact same experience and connection through the virtual space as we are able to in the in-person, which is what made me so confident in doing this in whatever capacity in which women need this type of healthcare delivery and this type of sisterhood that I think they crave. It really, we've been able to, you know, bridge that gap for people. And looking at the catastrophic information and data that's slowly coming in about mental health through COVID, I mean, this is the solution. The way we can help mitigate the negative impact that this will have on mental health status and decreased quality of life and health overall is being able to provide connection and community by any means necessary. And so we may not be able to physically be together right now, but we can create deep, meaningful connection in a virtual space. And I'm really proud to say that, because we've been able to demonstrate that. We've seen this and we've executed on it. The research supports that in terms of, you know, peer facilitated and different group settings in a virtual space. And we need it. I don't think we've ever needed connection more than we do right now. And I'm so grateful that we as a collective are able to help the community at large be able to access this type of care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so important, right? I think you've been, you said you were reading up on some of the research around, you know, mental health and loneliness, especially related to COVID and the pandemic. So would you mind sharing a bit about the benefits of community health? We know, of course, fostering relationships is so great for our energy, for our mood. It's inspiring to have healthy people around us, but it's actually becoming studied, right? More and more, the connection in the community and the effects of loneliness on various aspects of our health. So can you comment a bit on that?
Well, thanks for bringing that up and steering me in the right direction, because that was a huge part of why I also created this, is that I actually came across a study that said social isolation and loneliness was the leading all-cause mortality. So more than smoking, more than dietary habits, more than exercise, our connections were providing a more impact on our health than anything else. So that was, to me, like jaw-dropping, because here I am in a one-on-one clinic and I or practice, and I can visibly see the effects of loneliness in my female population. And here I am talking about nutrition and movement and sleep hygiene and not really providing enough resources to make sure that my community feels connected. We've been able to show through research that it can shorten, you know, isolation and loneliness can shorten your life expectancy by 8 years. It's as harmful as smoking 15 cigarettes or drinking 6 alcoholic beverages per day. And I know that if we saw that individual in our office, we'd be having a very honest conversation about the deleterious effects of that. And I know that I was coming up short in my own clinical practice. And so, you know, areas where this is really well studied is in cardiovascular health, which is, you know, we're seeing an increase in that right now with the physical distancing and isolation. You're at higher risk of anxiety and depression. And you are also at risk of having worsened cognitive function. So there's some really great studies that have shown women who have solid social connection 1 year after having a heart attack, it can increase their survival from that heart attack by 50%. Amazing. And this is why it's like, we should be shouting this from the rooftop. Like, if women knew that, they might make an effort to reconnect and realize that that's literally helping heal their broken heart, you know, to be a little more esoteric. But cognitive decline, they have really amazing studies showing that you can reduce cognitive decline by 90% with social connection. So this is a very powerful tool. And so when I say community is medicine, I don't say that lightly. It really has this incredible capacity to transform health and make life more enjoyable in the moment, which is why I think we care to have good health. So, you know, the research is really, like you were saying, like it's accumulating. We're spending a lot of attention observing this. And the other cool thing is how contagious our habits are. So, you know, if you want to get yourself out of habits or, you know, mostly lifestyle habits, let's just hang out there. And, you know, you're hanging out with a community that isn't necessarily fostering health. Let's say your friends drink too much alcohol, or, you know, they don't make the right dietary choices and you have a desire. This was a discrepancy I saw in my clinical practice. It was like, women would say this, like, I feel so safe in your office and I feel like I can really do this. I can do the nutrition plan you've laid out for me, or I can, you know, really see myself reducing my stress through meditation. But then I enter back into my world and my community doesn't foster the same belief systems that I do anymore. I'm not aligning with them. And so they lack the support to transform. And so when we give them a like-minded community where literally the contagion is, you know, health-minded and brave and vulnerable and loving and supportive, well, that has radical effects on health transformation, which is why we've seen the rates that we have, or the success stories that we have. But yeah, I think this is something we can no longer ignore. And really, to speak to a female demographic, I believe before COVID, you know, the risk of postpartum anxiety and depression was anywhere between 20 to 35% of women would experience that. During COVID, it's as high as 35 to 45% of women postpartum are experiencing anxiety and depression. So we are radically seeing a very quick shift in mental health status and overall health status. And we need to have resources and make them accessible to as many people who want to transform their health by something as simple as offering community.
So powerful, right? And people are working from home. They're lacking that community, that connection of like in person, seeing each other in the office. Like it's pretty strange when you think about it, right? Like these things were kind of ingrained back in the day when people lived in tribes or families and communities really supported each other. They were out in nature. And now we have to fight back to get time in nature, to get time with real meaningful connection and surrounding yourself with people who are inspiring and uplifting and are going to influence our health habits in a great way. So you saw that void, you saw how important and how impactful connection and community can be, and you did something about it. So I think this is such a cool experience for people to join in, and it has gone national, right? Like there's a big demand for it. So can you talk a little bit about how many, you know, cities are offering it?
Yeah, we're actually international. We are in Canada and the US. And we are in 24 clinics, 33 doctors internationally are offering the Wild Collective. And we are like almost completely across Canada and in 5 states in the United States. So it's like, because of what we offer, it's not super scalable for the individual, right? Like we are taking on a cohort. We are taking 20 at a time. There's only so many we can do at one time without burning ourselves out, which is not the point. So we need to do this as a collective. And what I'm so grateful for is that we've aligned with really incredibly brilliant and passionate doctors who are taking this to their respective communities. And now we can have this bigger impact together, which was the whole premise anyways, right? So, you know, I was running the numbers last night, and the potential of being able to help up to 500 women this launch alone, one person couldn't have done, right? So, I mean, this is really powerful. And I think this speaks to women in a very visceral way, because I think it is deeply, we're wired to want to connect with each other, and we are wired to want to know a little bit more about how our body works and how to listen to our intuition, that whole reclaiming your wild part and understanding how our body speaks to us. I've learned that women really want to have these high vibration conversations about all of these facets of health and how they can help their self perform and how they can fill their cup so they can take care of their family members. And so I just think it's so brilliant and amazing and inspiring that we're able to, as a collective, just impact more, because we're going to make a bit of a ripple in these, you know, daunting statistics. And we couldn't have done that without each other. So
for sure. And I think it's fascinating because the facilitators, myself included, tend to have a story that where community saved them or helped them get through a really difficult time. Like for me, after having my son Stuart, I went through sleep deprivation from breastfeeding challenges, which turned to postpartum anxiety and then burnout and low mood, you know, being so exhausted that even reading a book to Stuart felt really daunting. So that's my son. But realizing that other women eventually were going through the same thing, but it took me a while to realize that I did feel pretty alone and as a failure as a mom and as a naturopathic doctor, especially not being able to breastfeed as easily as I was expecting to. But once I reached out to some mom groups and some mom friends and wasn't, you know, feeling shameful, I was willing to be vulnerable about what I was going through, then that really built me up. It normalized my experience, and it really helped me get through a difficult time and recognize there's tools and ways to get out. And even as a naturopath, you know, understanding physiology in my body, we still need communities as well. Healthcare practitioners need that support to get through difficult times. Then I can only imagine there's so many women who go through health challenges and they're told it's just, you know, their hormones. Oh, you're just tired because you had a baby, but there can be real imbalances going on. So I think the education piece with this community health initiative, the Wild Collective, is so key as well. So people can learn about their physiology. And I think I've heard you speak before where then they actually pass on information to their daughters or younger women in their life, and it'll have that ripple effect in terms of education around their menstrual cycle, their intuition. So it's so powerful there.
I love that you say that. Like, we've actually had women, even post-menopausal women, like cry in that menstrual cycle session because they didn't realize their superpowers. You know, I think, you know, we're stepping into more of a feminine energy these days where, you know, there really is this permission and desire to want to lean into that feminine energy and understand how we've been given these gifts and we can leverage them as our superpower. And, you know, historically that hasn't been a safe place to explore. And I my story is so similar to yours where, you know, we've kind of evolved to trying to be all things to all people. And that really was like the rebel tendency for me before, the want to like leave that archetype, because our, you know, when we look into like going even further back, you're right. Like in tribes, we supported each other. We were never meant to do this alone. So of course this feels daunting and overwhelming and like we're failures all the time, because it just isn't how we were wired to handle this kind of stress and the undue pressures that we put on ourselves. And now many women are home and professionals, and I'm sure that's even amplified in COVID. And so it's just, you know, it is really difficult to be able to get through that. And I think I want to say like the quote is like the hoop is a lot bigger than you think when you jump through it. Like we overcomplicate the healing journey and we think it's all of these things that are required to get us to where we need to be to have, you know, revolutionary health or to have healed or to transform. And often like what you're saying, normalizing the experience, having, you know, understanding how similar we are and that we're on this journey together. And this is one that's, this journey is meant to be enjoyed and shared and not, you know, endured. That's really powerful. And I think through being a facilitator through this process, that's when I started to learn how important your story matters. And that's why we create so much space for conversation, because I think when we start, like Brené Brown says, like when you own your story, you can write the ending. And so I think there's this beautiful fusion of health, but also this real impactful transformation, because we give the space for all of that and we kind of honor everything that we're going through. And then we're supported the entire way. And I think the cool thing that I get feedback on is that this is equally a transformative experience for the facilitator is for the participants. So it's such a symbiotic relationship. It's just a really powerful thing to be a part of.
Love it. I'm so excited to jump in and help to support and build that community and also be vulnerable myself and share my story and hopefully open up the forum for those who want to share. And, you know, nobody's forced to share if they're not comfortable with it. I think you've mentioned before introverts, you know, there's different ways to help support them in the group as well. But if they're willing to share and have people listen and hold space, that in and of itself can be healing. And I love the idea too of just reclaiming your wild and, you know, being intuitive about your body, because we do live in a, you know, type A, if you will, man's world where we're supposed to feel the same every single day, get as much done as we can. You know, there's no fluctuations. We should just push through when we have our period. And I know a big piece of the education is around cycle syncing or being aware of the menstrual cycle phases and how to maximize that for your superpower. Do you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yeah, because it's everybody's favorite session, and rightfully so, because we're reclaiming a huge part of what is that feminine energy and honoring where we're at. And much to your point, you know, we've been trying to perform in a more masculine model where it's very mitochondrial in its perception. Like how much energy you have for that 24-hour period is all you've got, and you get up and you do it again and you do it again and you do it again. And that's not how women function, right? We are really very cyclical in nature. And I think when we start to honor this cyclical rhythm, you start to see women make massive shifts in their health and in their life, because they are no longer fighting their natural tendency or their intuition or their physiology. They start working with the body and getting into this aligned rhythm. And so, and it doesn't matter. We hear so many, we'll get some protests and like, well, I don't have a period anymore. You know, the beautiful thing is that we are cyclical with the moon. And so you can use the moon cycle or you can use your menstrual cycle to start understanding this wisdom that we've been gifted with to step into our own power. And so there are, do you want me to go into detail?
Sure. If you don't mind. Yeah. If you could touch on the phases and how to maximize, you know, your energy during those phases.
Yeah, because everyone in your collective is going to get a deep dive on this. Reflect on it because it's really exciting and you need to hear this information a few times before it really sinks in. So, you know, there are four phases of our menstrual cycle. And the first is our menstruation phase. We'll start there. So day one is when your menstruation starts. And how I like to talk about this is that first phase is where you're shedding your lining. Physically, your hormones have all lowered, conception has not happened, and therefore everything is really, really low. And in fact, your hormones are so low that the hemispheres of your brain are communicating because there isn't as much hormonal involvement. And so this is a very reflective, intuitive time for women. And I think the more we start to harness this energy and understand it a little better, you'll actually start to have very intuitive dreams, or you'll be very conscious while journaling and stuff will come up for you. And you'll really have clarity of what it is that you're supposed to focus your energy on over the next cycle. So over the next 28 days, you know, this is like the gateway into that more psychic or intuitive power of how you should be choosing to use your energy. And this can be in motherhood. This can be in your career. This can be in entrepreneurship. This can be in your health. That's what's so cool about it, is that wherever your focus is, that's where you'll get some inkling as to what it is that you need to focus on. And so that time is a deeply intuitive time. And, you know, you're supposed to eat really nourishing, rich foods, because obviously you're shedding your lining. And so there is a net loss. This is a time where exercise shouldn't be overly strenuous. You should really only be walking and listening to your body. And how many women do we know just like push and push and push no matter where they're at in their cycle, and they're not able to lose weight. They have mental fog. They don't sleep well. It's really this resistance to honoring where they're at. So once you leave that menstrual phase, you move into this, what I call the beautiful follicular phase. I love a follicular phase. And this is when our hormones start to, you know, slowly increase. We see a rise in our estrogen levels. We see a slow rise later on in our testosterone levels, up to a spike at around ovulation. We see a rise in FSH and LH. And it's this really energized time. This is a really good time to, you know, start something new. It's to get, you know, that manifestation phase. This is where you start actually putting things into action or planning. This is a great time to eat lots of, you know, fresh, vibrant, energizing foods. This is a great time to do your HIIT training or whatever strenuous exercise you have. This is a really vital time for women. So it's a great opportunity to take on new opportunities because you have the energy to be able to handle that. The ovulatory phase is when women should be ready to pitch an idea or ask for a raise or go on that date. You know, our testosterone levels have spiked, so our libido is a little bit higher. We might be feeling a little more confident. We are definitely very communicative, so we are able to articulate and translate our message a little bit more clearly. Again, this is still a really energizing time, so women can be eating similar foods and exercising and pushing themselves. But if we're looking at this a cycle, let's say it's like an idea, this is when you're pitching that idea, or, you know, again, you're really going towards that health goal. This is that perfect time, or having a tough conversation. I'll actually schedule everything around my menstrual cycle if I have the ability to do so. So if I know I have a tough conversation that needs to be had, I will put it in my ovulatory phase, knowing that it'll be probably more successful than a luteal phase conversation, right? So I'm very strategic about these things, which is why I like this interplay. And after that ovulatory phase, there are two distinct phases of our luteal phase. So it's the luteal phase, but there are two pieces of it. So, and that earlier luteal phase, you know, we still feel fairly good. You can still maintain, you know, pushing yourself a little bit more, but your hormones are starting to decline if conception did not happen. So there is that surge of LH and ovulation. Your progesterone will rise to a certain point, which is why you can feel really good at this beginning phase of the luteal phase. But if conception does not happen, then we move into the second phase of the luteal phase. And this is where we can see imbalances arise. And this is the interesting piece for me that was a real eye opener, because when I started off as a clinician, I would look at PMS, premenstrual symptoms, and I'd want them all to not be there. But what I've learned through this evolution of understanding our cyclic rhythms is that if there is a lot of unrest, if there's a lot of intense feelings, and I'm not talking about extremely intense feelings, but if there are a lot of emotions that are coming up, sometimes this can be, if we look at this as a cycle, this is that closure of that cycle. So your body is trying to show you what projects are left unfinished, maybe emotions that are left or relationships that are left unfinished. And so you might find some discomfort in this phase, which is why we can see symptoms and physical symptoms need to be addressed, because although common, a lot of them are not normal. But this is, you know, when we start, you know, going back into that menstrual phase. So we start to come back into our intuitive self. So you really, I no longer resist that experience. I don't always love a luteal phase. Sometimes I really do struggle. And so I'll schedule less. I won't have tougher conversations. I might lighten up on my exercise. I'm going to eat more nourishing foods again and warming foods and sort of calming my body, getting prepping for that menstrual phase. But I now understand maybe why there can be a lot of unrest, and it's, you know, needing to complete certain projects. So this is that beautiful cyclical phase. And we've had women who we've explained this to, and even though they work in a very male dominated profession, will still have all time high performing months when they actually start leveraging their menstrual cycle as their superpower. And so it's really cool to see how we are so vastly different, and we've really not paid attention to how this is our inner barometer and brilliance and how we can show up in the world. And I just really love having this as a tool to help me understand myself. And, you know, I like menstrual apps so we can be looking at this, because not only is it about fertility, it's about women's health. It's about your vitality. This is a vital sign of health. And so, you know, having a really good understanding of that, you're able to sort of lean into that power and trust yourself a little bit more, which is why we created this program, is being able to help these women self-advocate and feel very empowered in their journey.
That's amazing. Thanks for sharing that description. Yeah. It's so useful. I think people are always blown away by how to maximize those cycles. Right now I'm in the follicular approaching ovulation. So hence I'm doing this recording. I'm doing a presentation tomorrow. I've been to some networking groups, so I'll probably crash later on. But I love that our cycles are protective, right? Because if we did try to push through like in the follicular phase close to ovulation, every day of the month, we're going to burn out. So there's that protective mechanism, like you said, of resting, you know, lowering your exercise, having more warming food. So time to rebuild the body. So then we have that energy to continue on in the next follicular phase. So it's so fascinating. And thank you for sharing that. And people will have to join one of the wild collectives to delve deeper into that cycle syncing and getting familiar with your hormones. You've touched on some benefits and transformations in community health. Do you mind talking about that a little bit more? What have you seen when women get together, when they start to share, when they become empowered with knowledge about their health? How does that translate into their life?
You know, the beautiful thing is that everybody has their own experience of this. And like you brought up the extroverts and the introverts, we really have worked hard to make sure that we filled the cups of everyone, because I am quite extroverted. I can be narcissistic in that and just think everyone wants to be like an extrovert. But through the work that we do together as a collective, through breakout sessions and as a larger collective, you know, women having the opportunity to have the floor and share and connect, you really see this revolutionary shift in their confidence and bravery. And we've had women who have been successful in their weight loss journey and dropped 50 pounds through understanding, you know, the mental mindset pieces towards nutrition. We've had incredible stories of women who are, you know, really disconnected from their family and unhappy and depressed and medicated because of early childhood trauma and having a really tough time processing that, but having the space, not necessarily talk about the big trauma because they're not, but having connection is so healing. And hearing the normalizing of the human experience is something I don't want to undervalue. It is a very important piece to what we do. And so when you hear someone have a story similar to yours, but maybe they came through that struggle a little unique to you, and they were able to get through it in an empowered fashion or unsuccessfully, it really, just hearing how similar our stories are is a powerful tool. And so we've had women show up at that last session saying, you know, I am weaning off my medication. I want to feel again. I no longer want to be numb. I want to be connected to my family and my kids. And I'm not afraid of that anymore. And, you know, I'm showing up in this way because of how the women, this is how you women have made me feel. Like, we had a woman move across Canada because she wanted to have a life in which she could do things and, you know, wanted to explore and have it be more affordable so that she could actually focus on her dream and serve and show up in the world the way she wants to. And I think this is the brilliance of community medicine, is that not only are these some of the most articulate women in my office, the way they are able to communicate their symptoms and how they want to work through their own health plan with their health binders and like completely in control in the driver's seat and co-creating health, which is really how that relationship should be. They also are very much willing to own what it is that is holding them back from reaching their full potential. And you really do. I always say the contagion is bravery, because we really, the thing that is contagious to these women, the thing that I see most, is that they start to really take action. A lot of women end up quitting a job that's no longer serving them and start their own project or find that dream job or partnerships or let go of relationships that are no longer serving them. It's powerful in the sense that we start to really get honest about what's not working for us, because we actually have permission to own that, and we have the safety net of realizing that this is possible if we have the support. And so, you know, I think what was missing in my one-on-one practice is that, you know, we have the medicine that we have is incredible. The treatment plans that we put together, again, also I think amazing and so eclectic and, you know, so focused on the individual. And the thing that we weren't able to successfully execute on was the support. Now that they have all three pieces, you see these women lean in, trust, rise above, and actually like be the leader in their life and show up for their family and realize they need to fill their cup first. And it's a really beautiful story. And their stories are not unique. I remember the first time I was like, oh, they were just a bunch of unicorns. Like, that is never happening again. And that's what's reproducible. And all you have to do is show up and be curious and have a willingness to participate in the experience. And if you have those things, you are going to see shifts. And that's amazing. It's just so empowering. It's not scary and difficult. Sounds like we might be talking about scary stuff. We're not. We're just showing up in a very vulnerable space, and we are creating a loving experience or a sisterhood that you may never have had before, that's completely nourishing and supportive, and having a curriculum that helps you be self-empowered in that experience. It's just like the perfect fusion to be able to be in the driver's seat of your health and to be able to truly live a life that is in line with your core values and one that feels happy and purpose-filled. And I think that is something to be really excited about.
Amazing. Yeah, I see that time and time again in practice. Like, women kind of have a sense of, in some respects, of what they need to do to maintain their health. Like, I know I need to drink more water. I know I need to eat more vegetables or get to bed early, but they're not. And it's looking at that habit component. As you mentioned, habits are contagious. And if they're seeing other people do it and coming up with, you know, strategies on how to implement it, that's going to be really key. And then also remembering the why and being inspired. Like, I want to drink more water so I have more energy so I can get to the next thing, or I'm going to be studying so I can move and do this in my life. So I think it's surrounding yourself with those people and not doing what you've always done. Because I love that saying, when you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So with being inspired by other people around you, seeing them instigate change, I think is just powerful beyond words. And I think you did have a stat about happiness, right? So there's 3 degrees of separation for your happiness. Do you mind sharing that story?
Yeah, this was the stuff that when I was reading it for presentation, it was just like, this is so important. Like our brains are wired to connect. We can't help ourselves. It really is a natural human need. And so there's a book called Social. And when they looked at the 6 degrees of separation, they were able to actually verify that we are all connected by 6 degrees of separation. So, you know, the world is a lot smaller than we think. And our ability to influence, we have a 3 degree of influence. So the powerful way that we can actually help elevate the health and the happiness of our own family is ourselves starting to hang out with happier people. So if we hang out with people who are happy in our direct circle, it will increase our happiness by up to 15%. It's contagious. So if you, if your friend's friend's friend, so 3 removed, you may not know this person exists. They may live in Australia. Their happiness is influential to you, can increase your happiness by up to 6%. So to think that we can have an active role of actually creating a happier, more vibrant, positive world, we'd be crazy to deny the science. Like, it is incredible to me. And contagions work way too in terms of depression, suicide risk, obesity, right? So if you want to be successful in your weight loss journey, similar, hang out with people who have the habits in which you desire, because they will literally infect you with that contagion of health. And if you desire to be happier, then you hang out in a high vibration collective of like-minded women where we celebrate those things and we talk about that. And it's the contagion will be that you could end up 15% happier simply by hanging out in that group. And then think about your child or your mom or all the unhappy friends you wish to influence. You choosing to be happy and working on yourself is going to infect them, but beautifully with health.
Amazing, right? So it's curating your community, fostering relationships with people that are happy, and then honing in and nurturing your own happiness. And right now, I know that can be challenging for a lot of people, but would you mind sharing 2 or 3 ways where how you are connecting with people, how you are reclaiming your wild or connecting with nature for your happiness during this challenging time?
Well, you know, I think that going through this time has reinforced some belief systems for myself. One is that sisterhood is the medicine. It's always been the answer for me. So anytime I go through a challenge or community, I should say, because my husband is also very instrumental, not to discredit him. You know, I believe this time has been very challenging, and I've had to prioritize getting on more Zoom calls or phone calls than I would like. I'm not someone who loves that because so much of my life is virtual. And, but it made a huge shift in my happiness and my ability to cope through this experience when I popped on my weekly calls with my friends, or made time to go for walks with my husband and my family. I mean, connection is so key. Nature is something that has become very important for me. It is, you know, I talk about, you know, this, like the whole, like reclaiming your wild and what that means from like a physical perspective. But also what I think I love about that analogy is that we can step into a forest and like step into this like wonderment. We don't know exactly what's in there. And it's exciting. It's so good for our nervous system to calm down. It's good for our mitochondria. It's, you know, it's good for our immune system. But being in nature is something I think I can easily get disconnected from, because again, my world is so highly work focused and tech focused that I can easily get pulled out of, you know, the things that come very natural to us. So I think, you know, those 2 things are important, and being rhythmic. So understanding circadian rhythms and understanding my menstrual cycle and really sort of owning these things that are our natural ways of having superpowers and understanding how, where our body should be at. Again, like I think we're so pulled away from that because exposure to blue light from screens, and there's so many ways that we can be pulled out of our circadian rhythms and out of our, you know, cyclic menstrual cycle rhythms that, you know, like you think about those three things alone, how that can have catastrophic effects on our health, and just simply going back to those things, it like can revolutionize health. So I think in times of challenge, like no one saw this coming. I think the uncertainty of it all was really impactful. Last night I looked at the stat that 45% of adults in the US have mental health negatively impact due to worry and stress over coronavirus. So, you know, we've seen these massive shifts of uncertainty and worry and distress, and to go back to the basics of community and nature and owning our cycles, it can have a massive impact in terms of how we feel on day to day. And what I learned is in these moments where we want to, like, because alcohol sales went up 243% in March, online alcohol sales, which is insane. We want to like avoid the problem. And I think what I'm starting to learn and own is that that's when we need to double down on the things that we know heal.
Definitely being active about those choices that are actually going to nourish us in the long term, instead of, you know, that glass of wine that, yes, it may help you feel good in the moment, but you might feel worse the next day or the day after. So I think that idea of like scheduling in that connection time with people, we really have to make that extra effort to fit it in, or it's not going to happen. Scheduling that hike in nature, signing up for a wild collective. This is a shameless plug, but that's that, you know, you're committed, you've signed up for something. You're going to show up and others are going to show up with you. So I think that's a great tool right now. And even before COVID, I think the Wild Collective and community health initiatives are so instrumental to our health. And thank you for sharing all the statistics about that. It is mind-blowing. And I'm sure there's going to be more and more studies coming out showing the beneficial impacts, because it's just a fairly new field of research in my understanding. So there's so much more, I'm sure, that it is benefiting. So thank you for sharing all of that wonderful information. We'll let people know how they can connect with you. But I first wanted to shift to the second part of the podcast, where we learn a little bit about you as a mom. So I can go first, but I'm a mom to a 3.5-year-old Stuart, and my super mom moment, well, I guess it doesn't involve him, but it involves taking some time to get out in nature and spend some time alone. So I used to bike a ton when I wasn't a mom, and I would love going to, you know, the DBP trail here in Toronto, Cherry Beach, the beach trail. And I hadn't done it for a while. So on Sunday, I took a few hours. I hopped on my bike. I went down the DBP trail and along the lakeshore. And it just reconnected myself to a part of me that I kind of forgot about. And like you said, I had that awe and wonderment just, you know, looking around, breathing in the fresh air. It was so healing and nurturing. And it felt like, okay, maybe I should have been doing other things with that time. But I honestly and more rejuvenated and energized for the week. So that was my super mom moment, to take some mom time, some nature time for me. But Michelle, do you have a super mom moment that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I do. Because it's fresh. I was away from my kids on the weekend. So funny. But I am someone who's always made time for friends, and what was obviously strained in COVID is that we weren't able to freely see each other. And so my friend got married over the weekend, and a couple of girlfriends and I drove up to be there to celebrate her wedding in a very intimate and safe fashion. And we danced for 5 hours, and I can't think of the last time I've laughed like that and felt like my heart felt so full of happiness and joy of the simplicities. And I actually wrote it on my social media, like, I hope I never take those moments for granted, because when I do those little things where I fill my cup and remember who Michelle is, not mom, but Michelle, I am a much better mom. I'm a more connected spouse. I'm, you know, excited and passionate about my life. And so I've always really tried to do my best to not forget who I am. Because I just realized that when I did those things, I was really able to show up and be much more mindful mom for my kids. So that was a really fun moment. I'm very grateful.
Love it. 5 hours of dancing. All right. I missed those. I got to make that happen. My feet are still very sore.
I'm feeling it, but I was like, I will just keep going because I don't know when this is going to happen again. So for it was sure. really.
Oh, I love that. That sounds like such a great time. So great mom moment. I'm sure, you know, we're all doing a great job, but there might be some mess up. So I can share mine. And then if you have one, if you don't, if you can't think of one, that's okay. But as a mom mess up. So yeah, with everything going on, you know, back to school for a lot of families and becoming a facilitator for the Wild Collective, I love working. I've been working a bit more than I normally would around this time. And I think Stuart's been sensing that. And he knows that I get up early and do a workout before he's up. And that's kind of my time to do a workout, some yoga and breathing. So I think he's kind of caught on to, okay, if he gets up early, then he can spend time with me before the day starts. So I guess it's not really a mess up, but it's I haven't been spending as much time as I'd like to with him during the evenings or mornings. So he's carved out a way to see me before he has to go to preschool. So it is special time. He'll like work out with me or watch me work out. I might put something on the computer for him, but we still have some fun time together in the morning. So I'll have to delegate a little bit more time with him.
I love that. Yeah. So mine is very similar to yours. I like that you shared that. Thank you. So I was like, do people say they like, I don't know. How deep do we go? I feel like I mess up all the time. I feel like I feel a little overwhelmed with how this new school year is going to look, that I just feel underprepared for my kids. And I wish I could, you know, be that leader for them and feel confident, but I just, you know, I'm kind of riding this little unsure wave with them. And so I feel a little underprepared. Like we haven't bought pencils for school. I like, you know what I mean? I feel like the rules have radically shifted that I'm like, I hope we've done enough for you guys, but we'll find out, you know, and like day by day, the schedule changes. So I feel like, you know, at a time where I wish they could sense my calm and my resiliency through this moment, I'm riding that wave of nervousness with them.
Right. It is such a challenging time. And, you know, you are human, and for you to feel the emotions too, I think, you know, is a lesson in and of themselves to see, like, yeah, we can feel as well. So hopefully things will be revealed and it'll be a smooth back to school, but you're doing a great job anyway. And then let's share our mama must-haves. So I'll go first. So yeah, I guess with the ups and downs with being busy and with the unknowns, I'm really enjoying a lavender tulsi tea lately. So I'll have it in the day, iced or warm, you know, steep it for 10 minutes. And that just is a nice, people call tulsi tea, it's non-caffeinated. They call it liquid yoga. So you just feel like, you can take a nice deep breath, or I'll have it before bed, not too close to bed, because then I'll have to get up and pee all the time. But, you know, the woes of after having a kid, but it's a really great unwinding. I enjoy the flavors. So that's my mama must have right now. So for those moms back to school, you need some liquid yoga, try the lavender tulsi tea. And Michelle, do you have a mama must have that you wanted to share?
I have three for you.
Great.
Okay. My Instant Pot. Do you have one?
Yes. I love it.
Like game changer, right? Like feel like I'm a really good home cook for my children so that they don't have processed foods, or, you know, we can be in alignment with what we believe, but it makes cooking so easy, and I'm not a great cook. So my Instant Pot is like revolutionized my ability to feed my kids healthy food, and I feel really happy about that. Essential oils is something I'm getting super into. So I put a diffuser in my bedroom. This is N of one day, but I put a diffuser in my bedroom and I put grapefruit oil in there so that in the morning I would diffuse it so it would wake me up, and it worked really, really well because citruses just really do wake me up and make me feel excited and happy. So I'm happy to report that got me out of bed so I could work out this morning.
Right, that's a win.
Right? Big win. And I have tea every night too. It's become a ritual. I look forward to it. I really love the organic throat coat tea. The flavor is lovely. And I think too, just the season that we're going into, it's just a great formulation and it's very tasty. And it's herbal as well.
Great one. Yeah, that's a great one for this time of the year. And especially as, you know, potentially sore throats, but also just like talking a lot and really soothing to the voice. So thanks for sharing those, the essential oils, the Instant Pot, and then the Throat Coat Tea. So we'll definitely link to those in the show notes. But Michelle, wow, it's been such a pleasure. I'm so excited to be a facilitator for the Wild Collective, and the launches are starting within a few weeks. So, oh my gosh, and there'll be another, you know, several in January and then again next spring. So what's the best way for people to connect with you, to reach out to you?
Yeah. Okay. So you can always check out what we're all about on thepoppyclinic.com. We have an Instagram page now for the Wild Collective. So you can follow us over there. And then you can connect with facilitators like Lisa so that you can go join their collectives, which I think is amazing. And I have my own Instagram at Dr. Michelle Paris, which is where I like to hang out. I have a podcast as well called Rebel Talk. So if you want to go check out that, there's lots of fun stuff and fun conversations over there. You're going to have to come on.
That's right. I would love to, for sure. Yeah, I've checked out your podcast before. You have some great guests as well and some great health topics to cover it too. So thanks again for coming on today. I really appreciate you sharing your expertise, and we'll be sure to connect everyone with your Instagram and all that on our show notes on our website. And thank you everybody for joining us today. If you like the episode, please leave us a review and a 5-star rating and let your friends know about the Perimenopausal Mamas podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Perimenopausal Mamas. Take care, everyone. Stay safe, stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye.